Thank you, Brother Marty, and we came to really to visit and to hear your wonderful pastor and his beautiful gift that we have enjoyed for many, many years. Actually, Brother Marty probably doesn't know this story, but it was a long time ago that he was at a meeting in Powder Springs, Georgia. Unfortunately, the church is no longer there. And it was at that meeting that afterwards I gave my future wife my phone number for our upcoming date that we, God bless us to have. So Brother Marty didn't know that, but probably know that, but he was preaching that day. Wasn't he, Kristen? Did I get that right? Okay. I don't get things right sometimes, but she's my helper. It is a blessing to be with you again. And to see some of you that maybe we saw before at other places and maybe here, but it was a long time ago. And I apologize for not being here for so long. But you have done a lot of wonderful things to your building. But it is indeed the people that we look forward to seeing. And the prayer, I know we took time to offer, to ask for prayers. We still do that at our church. And it's such an important part. It does take a little time. But it's so important. The Lord's house is to be a house of prayer. Amen. And I tell you what, if I didn't believe in people's prayers, I wouldn't even attempt to come up here. Because it is your prayers that uplift your minister and those that stand before you to be able to preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I kid around with my congregation. I say there's not a special button back here under the pulpit that we can just flip or push that button. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is overflowing, and we're able to preach the gospel. That's not the way it works. And I don't know, Brother Marty, I don't think he's got one either, just to make sure. But I encourage our people to come up and check it out. There's not a special. But what is the switch? The switch is God's people saying, we want to see the Lord today. We want to worship him. We want to feel his presence. We want to see him high lifted up. Especially when we're burdened down with the cares of life and the sorrows of life and the afflictions of life. And they're heavy, aren't they? They're heavy sometimes. But we have a great big God. And as we put those burdens on him, it's easy for him to bear those burdens. And we have to be careful that we don't take them and then bring them back, you know, because that's what we're prone to do. But anyway, don't want to stand much before you. I did have some thoughts, and I hope it's of the Lord, as we have over here in the 24th chapter of Genesis. Genesis 24 is a beautiful story of how that Abraham is going to send his servant, his very faithful, I believe, his eldest servant, a man, no doubt, who had been with Abraham long time, and had seen some amazing miracles that God is going to pick out this man, Abraham, and use him in such a mighty way. And Abraham, it says he's old, but it's been saying that, I noticed, for about 40 years or so. He's been old, because 40 years before this, Isaac is going to be born. The miracle birth of Isaac is going to occur just like God said it was going to happen. It didn't happen on Abraham's time or Sarah's time, and that's kind of the way it is with us too, right? You know, we see God's promises, we believe, we have faith in the Lord because he's put that within us, of course. He's the author and finisher of our faith. But as we exercise our faith, we use our faith, and we see these things, we try to do what's right. Oftentimes, though, when we're in the middle of affliction or sorrow, whatever it is, we are uncomfortable, of course, and we want to be free from that and move to something different. And the patience is a hard thing, right? Being patient. But it's in here a bunch, isn't it? To be patient and wait on the Lord because he hasn't forgotten us. And he's not going to forsake us, not going to leave us. But oftentimes it doesn't happen on our time. But that's okay. His time is better than our time, right? And it's just putting our will with his. But Abraham has a son now. It's a very special son. He's the promised son. He's Isaac. And he's getting old, and he wants him to have a wife. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to have for your children. But it can't just be anybody. And that's also an important lesson here. And the Lord, no doubt, has shown Abraham these things and impressed upon him strongly. So he gets his oldest or most, it says his eldest servant and his experienced servant, who no doubt has seen some experiences that God's blessed Abraham with. And it says here in the first verse, Abraham was old, well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And no doubt you have all those chapters before that. Nobody can doubt the Lord took Abraham and blessed him in a great way. Abraham said to his eldest servant of his house, that ruleth over all he's had. So no doubt Abraham put a lot of confidence in this man, that he rules over all the things in his house. Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. Now that seems strange to me. I don't know about you, but it was their custom, no doubt. And it was kind of like a handshake, maybe, that you might seal a deal with today. You know, although I don't know, that's not as strong as it used to be, I think, you know. But this was the way they did it in their tradition. He's about to have him make a promise and a commitment. And this was the way of getting the message over to his servant, who no doubt was a familiar with this custom, that this is the way to really understand this is serious. And I'm getting your commitment on this very important thing. That's what I get out of that. And Brother Martin, get me straight out here in a minute. All right. And I will make thee swear by the Lord. This is important. He's, you know, not. And the scriptures tells us to be careful about swearing like this. Right. Now, I'm not saying it was wrong for him to do it, but we it's not something we should take lightly when we do that. Scriptures teach us that. He says, I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth. I mean, he's really putting it on here. And all the things he's saying is true, but it's putting the significance of what this Abraham is communicating to his servant, how important this job is that I'm giving you to do. That thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. So here they are, and no doubt he's surrounded by Canaanite women, but he says he's not to have a wife of these Canaanite people. That's not what God wants us to do, and this is not what's going to be the right thing for you to have my son marry a Canaanite woman, because they don't worship the true and living God. They worship the little g gods, right? But thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Okay, now this is a long chapter. I'm not going to be able to get through it. And this is strange, but my thought is not about Rebecca. She must have been beautiful. And she was not just beautiful on the outside. She was beautiful on the inside. And there was plenty of evidence of that. And that is what's important, right? But she was beautiful on the outside and the inside. The focus of my mind in this, what I want to get here as quick as I can, is not Abraham, it's not Rebecca, it's not Isaac, but it's about the servant. He is doing some things here that are really wonderful. And, you know, he feels the burden of this that Abraham's called him to do. And he says, I'm going to just paraphrase some of this. He's like, well, but what if I go over there, just like we do? If the Lord tells you to do something, your mind may quickly, and Satan's there to help you. But what about this? What about that? How's that going to figure? How are we going to work that out? But there's going to be this problem, that problem. And that's the way we are, right? But Abraham's like, this is the way God showed him. Now he's communicating that to the servant. God's going to be with him. So let's grab that verse. Seventh verse is the answer Abraham gave to him. And he said, the Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, which spake unto me, that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Now Abraham is a man of faith. He's a father of faith. And wow, if you read some of the things Abraham did by faith, and it's like, and I've been trying to preach on faith for a long time, I'm trying not to do that right this minute, but when I compare our faithful walk, I say, you know, God doesn't immediately, when you're born spirit, You can't walk by faith unless you have it to begin with, right? In you, then you can walk by faith. And God does that work. Thank goodness he's in charge of that. But he doesn't immediately hand you big Abraham faith shoes to walk in. Aren't you glad? I mean, that we're talking about big, big shoes to walk in. He gives you the shoes that fit you right now. But as a little child grows and their foot grows, he expects us to walk in the faith shoes we have today. But he also expects them to grow. And as they grow, wear bigger faith shoes and bigger faith shoes. So when you get to the really tough things, you can look back on all those experiences and be able to handle these other things that are in front of us today. That's cool. That's awesome. This is our God. So Abraham is wearing his big Abraham faith shoes, and his servants, maybe his are a little bit smaller than Abraham's, but he's going to encourage his servant and say, look, God, who blessed me, is going to send his angel to help you do this task. And he does do that. Now, he goes on, and of course you know about going to the well, and it's funny, these people in the Old Testament, they put all these things, well, it's got to be this way, this way, this way, then I know, Lord, you're in it, you know, and I guess that's kind of the way we might be. But God showed him this exact situation. There has to be a person come, a woman come to the well, she has to give me water and give water to my camels, and all these things happen, just like he asked the Lord for it to come undone, or come to pass that way. And then I like the fact that this man, once the Lord shows him these miracles, what does he do? And this is the 26th verse. The man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. You see, and I hope we do that too. When we pray for something, the Lord blesses our... Don't forget to thank him. I think that's a big part of what this worship was right here, is to remember when the Lord blesses us to, you know... And if you say, oh, I'll do it later, it might not happen. Best thing is to kind of do it right then. He does it in front of Rebecca here. And then he'll do it in front of her family when he reiterates what happened. And when they say, yeah, you can have her, right? Then he'll do it again. He'll worship God. He'll thank God for doing that. But here's the thing I wanted to grab out of this. I finally get here, maybe. In this verse, the next verse, 27th verse, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Now here's the thing, here's why I'm here. Of that verse, I being in the way, the Lord led me. Now, we can be in a lot of different ways, and oftentimes, if we're not careful, we're in our own way. But I'll tell you, the scripture tells us a lot about being in our own way. Don't go your own way. Our own way is the way of death and destruction. It's the broad way. It's the way that everybody's going. Don't listen to your heart, which is deceitful above all things. Don't listen to your flesh and its way. There is a better way. It is the way that the Lord would give unto us, and he would show us the way. He is the way. Jesus would say, I am the way. Over there when he talked to his disciples. Now we know he's the way of getting us to heaven, right? You already know that. There's no other way that we'll go into heaven one day except that Jesus came and he walked this way. He came down to heaven. I mean, he came down from heaven to this earth because it was the only way that we could get to heaven one day. And he came and he walked in the way that he was supposed to walk. He walked perfectly in the way that the Father gave him to walk in. In every way did he do everything perfectly. Thank goodness he did. And by doing that, he's made the way for us to go to heaven. Now, I like to say I don't have to put heaven. You don't have to put that in your GPS, which we don't even, I mean, you don't put that in your smartphone. You don't put that in your Waze and your Google Maps. Aren't you glad we don't have to type heaven in there? And I know even if I typed it in there, I'm going to make a wrong turn anyway. I know it's going to redirect me through a different way. And I'm not going to make it if I've got to get there through my phone. it's messed me up and it's helped me and all that. I'm glad we don't have to do that. You know how you're going to get to heaven? He's coming back for us. I don't have to figure out how to get to heaven. He's coming back for us to carry us home to heaven. And he knows how to get there because he's been there. He's been here and he's back there at the right hand of the Father. And he's coming back for us. Hallelujah. What a Savior. He's coming back. I'm so glad he's coming back for me. And though my body may live in the graveyard 10,000 years, though the particles of this body may be strewn all over the universe, he knows where every single one is and he'll bring it back together. But not just that, he's going to change it in the twinkle of an eye, and it'll be conformed to the image of a perfect body, likened unto the Son of God. And now, not only will I get to worship him in heaven, I'll have a perfected body to worship him with. I'll not have this old sinful body anymore that seems to get in the way, that seems to discourage me, distract me, to get me to go the wrong way. But we'll be in the perfect, perfect way of heaven with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to give you just a couple scriptures, and then I'm going to try to shut up. In the 12th, you'll find these types of things in the 12th and the 14th and the 16th Proverbs. And now we're like, wow, so Proverbs has got a lot of different things. But I want to just show you a couple things about our way that we want to avoid. This is the 12th chapter of Proverbs and the 15th verse. Notice this is about a way. It's not the way that this servant's going in. But there's a way that you have of your flesh that we need to deny daily, right? Your way of your nature wants to pull you. And guess what? The way of the flesh is going the opposite to the way of the Spirit. All right? The way of righteousness, the way of the Lord is contrary to the way of the flesh. And you're born in the Spirit of God, like I told my congregation. Before you're born in the Spirit of God, you only have this way. Right, to walk in the way of the flesh. And when you're born in the Spirit of God, you have a new nature in you. God put a new creature in you, and it's telling you to go the right way, to do the right thing. That's from God. But when you're born in the Spirit of God, it doesn't get rid of that one over there pulling you in that direction, you see, right? You still have this, right? But with this, we should walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, right? Now, it's not easy to do that, but it's not impossible because God is going to help us do that. Over here, he says in the 15th verse, the 12th chapter of Proverbs, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And that's the way we are, right? We justify doing the wrong thing. We justify doing whatever the flesh wants to do. But that's a fool's way. Let's not be foolish if God's put the Spirit within us. But he that hearkened unto counsel is wise. Now jump to the 14th chapter of Proverbs. And you'll see in the 12th verse, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If you only use your natural faculties, if you only use your flesh, then you're going to figure out the way you ought to go. But that way may seem right unto you, but it is the way of men. It is the end thereof are the ways of death. Now there, it could literally mean death. But it also means a separation from God, separation from walking with God. And then let's jump over to the 16th chapter real quick. In the 16th chapter, in the first couple of verses, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. All right? So what those scriptures are in there for the child of God who's born in the Spirit of God to help us to identify that we have a way that is about us in our nature, but we need to be careful because that is deceiving us and it's not the way we ought to be walking in. But we're all prone to do that. And I'll say this again, even though we might be walking in the right way at this moment, it's the next moment that I might be walking in the wrong way. It's a continual thing to ask myself the question, am I in the right way? Am I in the Lord's way? where does the Lord want me to be at this moment, and what does he want me to be doing? And have the same spirit that that servant did, where he didn't take this lightly. And when the Lord did bless him, he worshiped God, he thanked God, and he recognized that he's the one who showed him the way and blessed the way before him. So I encourage you to follow in the same way. And it doesn't matter if we don't follow in the way, the Lord's still going to take us home to heaven one day. Thank goodness we know that too. This is not an anxiety thing. It's not like, oh my goodness, if they don't get on the right way, they're not going to make it. No, he came. He came because of what he did. Every one of his children will be in the heavenly way in at the last day. And so I'm thankful for that. But while we live here, why is it important to be in the way? It's important to be in the way because that's the best place you can be, is where the Lord wants you to be. You'll get the most joy, the most peace that passeth understanding. You'll get the most blessings. That doesn't mean you won't have difficulties, right? But even in the midst of the storm, you can still have peace. You can still have joy in the midst of the storms of life. And it's being a disciple and following the Lord. This is the way to get the closest to him now. Now, we'll all be close. All of his children will be close to him in eternity. But I want to be close to him now. Amen. As much as I can. Amen. If you'll bow with us, we'll try to go to the Lord in prayer. God, thank you for this another day. Thank you for helping us to see the way. Thank you for the light that you give us. Thank you for the life that you've given us. Thank you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for entering into that covenant before the foundation of the world, and he would agree to come to this place of sin and sorrow, that he would come and die for us, that he would come and bear our sins and our iniquities upon him, and he would nail them to the cross, that they would be as far away as is from the east as from the west, not be remembered against us. Oh, what a precious Savior we have. And Lord, we pray for these that have been mentioned, these that are sick and afflicted. May they see this great God and see his hand of deliverance. And even if death claims us, oh Lord, we know there's something better further on. We seek a better country. What a blessing it is to be able to see that country from afar off and know that it is real and it is wonderful, and it'll be a place where we will be in the presence of God forevermore. Lord, we pray that you would forgive us for our many sins. We ask that you would take Brother Marty and use him according to thy will, and use him to proclaim the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in power and demonstration. We ask that you bless this congregation, bless our church back at Tallapoosa, all the churches of like faith. We ask that you be merciful upon us as a people. All things we do pray and ask in the Lord Savior Jesus Christ, and amen.